verse number 25 of John chapter 4. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. And the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. And he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye that there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the sayings of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to just preach this great truth, Lord. So many things we learn as we sit at the feet of the Savior, as we ponder his words. Thank you for preserving them in our King James Bible. Thank you that we can read them and feel like we were there listening. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that we get an encouragement as we're closing out our spring program going into summertime. Just pray this would be an encouragement to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message I've entitled, Harvest Time is All the Time. Harvest Time is All the Time. I feel like this is going to be hopefully an encouragement, admonition, and then also I really feel the more I get closer to delivering the message, I come with a spirit of great appreciation to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know, to receive seven of our tags that was found in Shelburne and have the gentleman take the time to write such a kind letter. And he said, I thought it was rather interesting that these tags were found by a church that has a reputation in our community for their bus ministry. And I sometimes need to hear that, folks. Forgive me for being way too human sometimes, but it's nice to know that there's folks out there that may not attend this church, but they certainly appreciate what we are trying to accomplish here. I spent just a little bit of time last night with Bruce Borders and did some little bit of canvassing with him and tried to be an encouragement to him just for a little while, a few hours. And one of the things he said in that conversation was this. We talked about a lot of things. He said, I've always said to everyone in our community, you know what? A lot of us can say we believe what we believe, but you know what? The Baptists put on their boots and go marching. That's what he said to me. We can all say we believe what we believe, but he said the Baptists put on their boots and go marching. And I wanted to pass that on to you. And thank you, church, that you know, gaining a reputation by that is like that is not by accident. And it's not even honestly the goal. Right. You know, I mean that. Yeah. But at the same time, it sure is nice to know that people notice. I got to tell you one more Bruce Borders story because I promised him that it was going to find its way into the sermon. And so anytime we spend any length of time together, at some point he starts, you know, poking at me for being a Baptist, you know. And so I knew it was coming at some point. And so finally he said something about to the Baptist. Oh, I know, we were using an app, and I won't go into all of it, but we weren't going door to door every door. We were going to specific doors, and you had to look on this app to know who were registered with which party. And so I kept leaning heavily on the app, and he said, you know, he said, Baptists need an app like that. He said, you know what, those of us that attend the Assembly of God can just get out of the car, and the Holy Spirit will lead us to the right houses. And he thought he was very funny when he said that. Well, what he didn't notice is there had been a storm kind of rolling in behind us. He laughed. He got out of the car, took 2 steps, and I promise you this is true. You can ask him. It's one of those lightning bolts that you don't even know where it came from because the light's all around you and there's this immediate boom where everybody goes like that. I mean, the closest and worst one you've ever felt in your life, two steps away from the car, kaboom! And he turns around and he looks at me and I'm like, you got to be careful what you say about the Baptist, brother, you know. God's listening. God's listening. And so... that has nothing to do with the message, but I thought it was hilarious myself. So, Jesus said this. It's interesting because we live in an agricultural area. And you know, because we live in an agricultural area, we're all familiar with the agricultural cycle, the growing cycle. We know what we're going to encounter this time of year. You know, we see as we drive up and down the back roads, and I've run into many of them on visitation. I'm visiting more men out in their shop working on their equipment right now that I'm finding in their houses. You know why? Because they're getting ready for planting season. And we think of springtime. We know that in the next few weeks, I just said it to Cheryl, I said, well, we get that wind, we get that rain to stop in a few days of wind. You're going to see these farmers are going to be out here. They're going to be doing what they've done every year in this area. And we anticipate that. We would say this is the planting season. And in the summer, we would say, well, it's the growing season. And then in the fall, we would talk about harvest time. But I thought it was interesting in verse number 35, this arrested my attention. He said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Now that tells me what time of the year that Jesus was talking to them. He was taking a very practical approach here. He was looking around at where the fields were. And 4 months out in that area would have probably been shortly after planting, maybe into the summer. Honestly, in our growing cycle, pretty close to where we are now or will be in the next 30 days. And he said, be careful. Just be careful that you don't get a mentality about when harvest is. Don't say there's 4 months and then the harvest. Christ likened the winning of souls to harvesting a crop. And you know what? He said, careful, say not there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. And then he encouraged them to pray and to go out and be laborers in the field. And I couldn't help but write down, when I read that little phrase there, I wrote down, harvest time is all the time. Harvest time. You know what? The Lord's showing us, and I so appreciate the update, how timely from Brother James Young concerning what just happened this Sunday morning, just yesterday and this week. And you know what? The report of souls being saved and new visitors coming to church and lost people coming in and talking to him, finding him and talking to him. I think that, you know what? Hey, be careful. I know it's May 1st, but you know what? Harvest time is all the time. And then to watch the Logan get baptized this morning. And by the way, Billy and Charlotte, I got such a kick out of them. I stopped them at the door and I said, listen, I want you to hear your preacher say this. The Lord used you. And by the way, that's an awesome thing to have God use you. I said, you invited Logan. He got saved. He got baptized. And you know Charlotte and Billy, so you won't be surprised. She just put her fist in the air and said, we did it, like that. And I thought, you did it. You sure did. And how sweet of a testimony that is. Here's a general reminder, folks, and a thank you that you realize this. Harvest time is all the time. Springtime is harvest time. I know we're going to finish our spring attendance campaign, but you know what? That doesn't end harvest time. You know what? Summertime is harvest time. I think in the summertime is one of the great opportunities to get out into the harvest. By the way, one of the most challenging times to make time to get into the harvest. You know, we've been hunkered down. We live in an area, thank God we do. I love being in an area where we get to enjoy all four seasons. I really mean that. I would move to Florida. People that want to move to Florida, move to Florida. Although if the politics keep going the way they are, I may have to. But, you know, just don't go to Disneyland, Disney World. Okay, sidebar on that. If you haven't figured it out by now, Disney is one of the most satanic companies. You know what you ought to do? Collect everything Disney out of your house, take it in the backyard and burn it. Never give them one more penny ever, 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 okay? And that's I needed to say that. But you know, summertime is harvest time. But you know, it's a challenging time because it's a busy time. Summer's busy. And you know, we have to be very disciplined. Let me help you Operation Occupation leaders to get off to a great start. We got off to a late start. We knew we were going to get off to a late start. Hey, you know what? We invested a lot of time in a church plant. And you know what? Wonderful, rightfully so, great, good. But, you know, we've probably gotten off the starting line a little. But you know what? Listen, just schedule a time. Set some goals. I understand. I talk to our leaders and I teach our folks this. I said out of 52 weeks in a year, you're probably going to have about 40 that I would call normal weeks. Okay, there's going to be about 12 where something happens, it gets crazy, you're on vacation, we're in revival, we're in, you know, we've got something going, it's something unusual is happening, throws us off our game. But you know what, 40 weeks a year on your normal weeks, just set a time every week, just consistently, faithfully go and peck away. And you know what, it's amazing what a joint effort, you know, the power of the assembly, your preacher kind of coined that phrase, the power of the assembly. It's amazing. God in his wisdom knew that we could accomplish very little by ourselves, but together we could accomplish so much. And so just set the time and do it. Fall season is harvest season. Winter time is harvest time. John Rice understood this great truth when he penned for us the hymn, "So Little Time, the harvest will be over, our reaping done, we reapers taken home. Report our work to Jesus, Lord of harvest," and hope he'll smile and that he'll say, "Well done." Today we reap or miss our golden harvest. Today is given us. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear one from the burning, today we'll go to bring some sinner in. So Christ likened the winning of souls to harvesting a crop in this portion of scripture. And then Christ taught us that to him, gathering in the harvest was priority one. And I'll take you back and look at in this same chapter, verses 5-8, I think it's interesting that we find Jesus Christ in the physical condition we find Jesus Christ in this story, at the beginning of this story. In verse number 5, "Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore being what? Wearied with his journey, sat down on the well. And it was about the sixth hour, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink." Look at verse 8, parentheses, "For his disciples were gone away unto the city to do what? Buy meat." Let me tell you the physical condition of Jesus Christ. He is wearied, the Bible says so. He's been on a long journey. He's exhausted. He's tired. He's so tired that as soon as he finds a place to sit, he sits down. Come on, have you just been to that point where it's like, I got to sit down? And then he's thirsty. And he's going to, we know that because he's about to ask for a drink of water. The Bible says that his disciples went to get something. He's hungry, thirsty, and he's exhausted. And then here comes a woman. And you know what? There's something more important to him than how tired he is. There's something more important to him than how hungry he is. There's something more important to him than how thirsty he is. Matter of fact, if you look down in verse number 27, it says, "And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat." Now listen to Jesus. "But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of." And folks, listen, I love this example. It helps Jerry Ross. You know what, folks? The flesh is always going to fight against you when it comes to doing the will of God and serving the Lord. The flesh wants to be first. The flesh wants its appetites satisfied first. You know what? I think that bus ministry and soul winning and serving the Lord by design makes us choose between satisfying the flesh and obeying the Spirit. You know what, folks? You know what? It's happened every year. I'm assuming summer's going to be hot. I'm just assuming summer's going to be hot. And unless there's some type of real climate change, in Indiana it's going to be hot and humid. Guess what? You know what? There's still a harvest to get in. Yeah, preacher, I'm tired. There's still a harvest to get in. Preacher, I can't go as fast as I used to. There's still a harvest to go in. Preacher, I'm thirsty. There's a harvest that needs to go in. You know what, folks? We've got to decide. Every person in here is going to come to those those decisions on a weekly basis where it's, do I do right now what my flesh would rather do, or do I do what Jesus has commanded me to do? And so Jesus taught us that, you know what, we've got to keep the harvest priority one. He was worn out, but this woman's lost. He's hungry, but this woman's lost. He's thirsty, but this woman's lost. Have you ever been so tired, hungry, and thirsty you didn't want to talk to anybody? Can I get an amen there? All right. I have, where even a person walking up to me, I just want to be left alone right now. You know what? Jesus wasn't looking to be left alone. He was looking for an opportunity. Number three, Christ told us that there is more ripe harvest. There's more harvest that's ripe and ready than there are laborers to pick it. The problem has never been the lack of harvest. It's always been a lack of laborers. Be careful. By the way, I want to thank the Lord. I'm going to say this publicly for Pastor Felix Griffith. And this was our pastor, our family's pastor at the Trinity Baptist Church in Brazil, Indiana. My mom and dad got saved at the Rock Run Baptist Church, and then for a while was members at the Trinity Baptist Church there. And you know what, Brother Felix Griffith, if there's one thing I guess we got from our time being there is this. He believed in sharing the gospel. He believed in passing out gospel tracts. I mean, he'd stand at the back door, and if you didn't get a track, he'd say, hey, I think you forgot something. You know what? That's okay, folks. That's not a bad thing. And you know what? I said that to say this. I was a child when he began to challenge me about passing out gospel tracts. I was a child when I first began to take gospel tracts with me to a public school and pass them out to my friends and people that would take them. You know, if we're not careful, we can go to any part of our life and say, and come up with a reason why that's not the time of life we can do this. Well, they can't do that. They're just children. Well, let's wait till they get to be teenagers. Well, you know, they're teenagers. They're too insecure right now. So let them get past their teenage years. Well, they're young adults now. And you know what? They're so busy trying to lay a foundation of life and get things going. And, well, they're middle-aged and their kids are all teenagers and they're running here and there. And then you're a senior saint. And you know what? I just don't have the energy, or just seems like, well, listen, you know what? It doesn't matter. Why don't we take all of those things and just throw them out the door? Why don't we just say this? Children, you know what? You can be part of gathering in the harvest. Teenagers, you can be a part of gathering in the harvest. Young adults, I know life's crazy, but you can still be part of it and need to be part of it. And you know what? Middle age, senior saints, whatever, wherever we are, you know what? Let's just say to the Lord, all my excuses are gone. I don't care what time it is. Springtime, I'm busy doing this. Summertime, I'm busy doing this. Falltime, I'm doing this. Wintertime, preacher, it's too cold. All right, then we can do that year after year after year. But guess what Jesus said? You know what? There's always more harvest than there are laborers. Number four, Christ instructed us to pray for laborers. You know, this is one of seven prayer requests that Jesus urged upon his disciples. The first five of those are found in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come. How about that? That's a prayer request, something he taught us to pray. This request keeps us looking. I like that. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This request keeps us focused. Oh, young people, listen to me. Hey, pray for our seniors. We have two seniors, not from our Christian school, but from our homeschoolers that are graduating. And you pray for both of these seniors and God's will for them going forward in their lives. And let me say to them, along with all of our teenagers and all of our young adults that have graduated recently, you know what? Don't ever get out of the harvest. Don't ever get out of the harvest. Just stay busy in the harvest, you know. And I know life's going to change, and I know God's will and direction, you're pondering and figuring it out, but just stay in the harvest. You know, don't get out of it. Christ instructed us to pray for laborers. Thy will be done as it is on in earth as it is in heaven. Stay in the will of God. Listen, selfishness is a spiritual cancer. It's killing Christianity. You know what selfishness does? It places the focus on me. What I want to do, what I want to be, where I want to go. Listen, we're not here to live for ourselves. We're here to find and accomplish the will of God. And part of the will of God is that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Praying that the will of God is accomplished on earth and heaven keeps us focused on the bigger picture, life from God's point of view, not life from our point of view. Of course, the prayer request, give us this day our daily bread. This request keeps us thankful. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This request keeps us clean. How about that? Praying for forgiveness every day. We all need it. We all sin. Hey, we all need it. We all sin, you know. Praying for protection and deliverance. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. This request keeps us vigilant, asking God for his protection, understanding that we better be sober, be vigilant. We do have an adversary as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Hey, you know what? Who's going to be next? Who's going to let their guard down? Come on, be careful. Be careful, all right? Praying for our enemies in Matthew chapter 5. This request keeps them from bitterness. I feel like I need to, Lord, stir in my heart to preach a message on this. I don't know if there's too many things that can derail a Christian from growth and blessings quicker than bitterness. And yet, folks, it's something we all have to fight against. I want you to hear me say that out loud. We all have to fight against this. Be careful. You know why he says pray for your enemies? Because he's trying to save you from that sin that has destroyed so many Christians. You say, preacher, but I know this. I mean it. I know it. Okay, I'm not being sarcastic. I mean it. I know it. Life can be so hard and so unfair and people so hurtful, and I get it. But bitterness is going to hurt you. It's not going to hurt that person. And don't let the devil take advantage of you. Everyone will be sinned against, treated unfairly, taken advantage of sometime in life. And by the way, these things are all wrong, and I hate that they happen. I'm not making excuses. But it's just as wrong to seek revenge or hold a grudge. You know, praying for our enemies, it keeps your heart pure and clean. Despite their actions, despite their attitudes, you know what? They can do anything and everything, but they can't prevent me from getting on my knees and holding their name up to the Lord Jesus Christ. So just pray for your enemies. And then the last request, went through those real quick, but praying for labors for the harvest. This request helps keeps us available. Praying for God to send labors into the harvest field of souls leaves us open to the Holy Spirit dealing with us personally in this issue. Lord, send forth labors. He says, how about you? Well, Lord, I can only do this much, then do that much. I remember the day my dad came to me, and he had already become Pastor Emeritus, and he was on up in age, and he had slowed down the stroke that he had in 2004, although, thank God, never really affected his mind or his speech. He just never got his stamina back after that, and then he stepped aside in 2005. But you know what? He told me one day, he said, I'm good for about half a day, Jerry. I'm good for about half a day. And many of you right now say, I know what he's talking about. And, well, that's all right, Dad, because a lot of days you did in one day more than most people did in three. So I think it's okay that you're just good for half a day. And I said, Dad, if you're good for half a day, then do half a day. And you know, that's kind of my mentality going forward. I don't know what all the future holds. And I know things are going to change. And I know that old man time's undefeated. And I know there'll come a time where I can't do everything I used to do. But you know what? I want to do something. I just want to do something for the Lord. And I talked to a retired preacher when I was out in down in Texas preaching revival. And the Sunday night that I kicked off the revival, Monday night I kicked off the revival. I don't remember. One of the nights I kicked off the revival, 79-year-old founding pastor of the church was there with dementia. But they were celebrating his birthday that night, and they had some cake and ice cream afterwards. And the man stuck on one thing. You know when you get dementia and you get stuck on certain things, okay? You know what he's stuck on? Every time I went up and talked to him, he started talking to me about the same thing. He said, hey, are you the guest preacher? I told him I was the guest preacher about seven times. You know, are you the guest preacher? He said, yeah. And he said, what's your name again? I'd tell him, he'd say, we need to do more to get souls. We need to plant more churches. Now we need to plant more churches. We need to. And on Tuesday night, he came into the service and he's got a walker. And I said, did you have a good day? And he went, ah. And I thought, what went wrong? And he said, I only got to pass out four tracts today. It wasn't a great day. 79-year-old dementia. When you ask him what kind of day he had, he didn't gauge it on his aches and pains or his physical limitations. You know how he gauged the day and the success of the day? I told my wife, if I ever lose my mind, I hope I lose it like that. You know, I walked away and thought to myself, here's a man has got every excuse never to leave his house, and he's upset because they only went one place that day, and he was only... Are we getting this, folks? Are we wasting the good health God has given us? And so let's make ourselves available. Let me finish with this. Christ promised us that God pays his reapers. And this is where I want to say thank you so much. You know what? If you look down at verse 35, he talks about that. You know what? Say not ye. And then he begins to talk about he said, don't say that there's 4 months then comes the harvest. And then he looks down at verse 36. And he that reapeth receiveth wages. Did you get that? He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And then herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. You know what he's saying? He's saying, listen, if you'll do what I tell you to do, you know what? I'll pay you off. I'll make it worth it. You know what, folks? There's tangible earthly rewards that I believe with all my heart, me and my wife have enjoyed through the years. And I'm not a prosperity preacher, but I believe that God takes care of soul winners. I think God takes care of people that will faithfully every single week of their life get into the harvest field and work. I just think God, I mean, we are at the point now where it's almost embarrassing. The things that God continues to do just to, I mean, little things, little ways, things that are so unexpected, doors that he opens, opportunities he gives us. And you know, I want to just say this, okay? I'm tired of people who won't serve God their entire life, get at the end of their life, and they're bitter against people who have served God all their life and are enjoying the blessings that come with that. I really mean that. I'm just a little tired of it. I'm a little tired of every time I try to share a blessing, somebody's not happy for us, but bitter against us. And it's usually the people that have done the least for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, I'm telling you, young people, if you will stick into this thing called the harvest, and you will continue to serve God, and you'll continue to get out there. I mean, when it seems like it's working, when it don't seem like it's working, when it's hot and humid and you don't want to go, and as soon as you walk out the door, your clothes are sticking to your body, and you're thinking, this is a lie. Just go anyway. You know what? Sweat never killed anybody. Go anyway. Go when it's cold. Go when you want to. Go when you don't want to. Go when you'd rather go get something to eat. You know what? Don't stop when you're thirsty. Matter of fact, every time you're thirsty and you're out there and you want to stop, think about Jesus sitting down on that well. And he's so parched, have walked across that desert, and he's sitting on the well, needed a drink of water, but he talks about living water instead. You know, we've got to, I don't know what to say. And it's not true as much in this church. I mean, and I'm not just saying that for this benefit. Parents, thank you for raising kids that still know how to do the hard things in life. But I am dealing with a generation of young adults out there that I want to throttle half the time. I just cannot believe where their quitting places are and their quitting points. One of the things I talked about a man recently, I'm so glad my dad made me go out and do some of the hardest things when I was a junior, when I was in junior high. I'm glad I went out looking for that type of work when I was in high school, not trying to avoid it, looking for that kind of work. I'm glad that I know how to push past my physical limitations, pray my way to the finish line, refuse to quit no matter what happens, no matter how late it is or how hard it is. Because that and that alone is going to prepare the next generation to live the Christian life. And I'm begging you, parents, don't baby those boys. Don't baby those girls. Okay, don't give in to their whining. Don't let them quit when it gets hard. Okay, because if that's the next generation of Christians we have, we are in trouble. We are in trouble. I am talking to quitter after quitter after quitter. I'm talking to people, the men that are facing, honestly, in the scale of what I watched my dad's generation face and what I faced in life and what they faced in ministry, and the littlest thing coming to their life and they're in a fetal position, sucking their thumb, talking about quitting the ministry, I just want to slap them. Good night. You know what? Do the hard thing. Pick up that cross. Deny yourself. Pick up the cross. Carry it. And follow Jesus. Now, you know what he'll do if he sees that? He's going to pay those people off. There's tangible earthly rewards. There's the joy of watching other people get saved. The joy. I mean, brother, talk to Brother Jeff Reiser. two Sundays ago, he got to sit down with Logan and open the Bible and lead him to Christ. You know what? Couldn't wipe the smile off his face for 2 days after that. I watched Miss Christina just glowing back there. And by the way, those bus workers that partnered to get those two girls to her class, you know what? They were texting me this afternoon, the bus captain, saying, hey, we had two girls saved. You know what, folks? I don't know what you think's going to bring you happiness. Go get it, I guess. Just run after every silly thing the world, you know, dangles in front of you. But I'm telling you that there is no greater joy than serving the Lord. And there's no greater reward than seeing people saved. Me and my wife just quickly went up on Wednesday afternoon. And Hiles Anderson College had its 50th anniversary of the college. And we went for the Wednesday night service and a brunch on Thursday. And then we came back Thursday afternoon. And somebody asked me, did you get to see some old friends? I said, I got to see something better than that. Did you hear me? I got to see something better than that. Say, preacher, what'd you enjoy the most? Running into my old bus kids, serving the Lord, singing in the choir, on the deacon board. Are you listening to me? Getting to talk to Maria Rivera, who we used to be Maria Vega. And by the way, I got to talk to her about her daughter that was at our church just a few months ago. And I looked at her and she came up so excited to see us. Heart just overflowing. Every time she sees me, she says, that's my bus captain. And I said, listen to me. You are not going to let that little girl go to Peru. You're not going to let your daughter go to Peru, are you? And she said, I certainly am. She said, as many times as I can, I'm going to go down there and spend time helping her. I love that. You know, again, I don't know. You know what? If a big house is that important, go get a big house, I guess. You know, if having, you know, $2 million when you retire so that you can spend 10 years, die, and then have the kids fight over it, then go ahead. I guess, you know, have a good time, you know. All that stuff's going to burn up at the judgment seat. But, you know, to think that we had a bus kid, and she came and found us. She's a grandma now. That goes to tell you how old I am. When your bus kids are grandparents, this is really a bad situation, all right? You know, she's a grandma now. But she looked at me, and Cheryl was standing right there, looked at both of us and said, well, my daughter wouldn't be going to the mission field, Brother Jerry, if you hadn't. And the rest of it's personal and private and for us. And, you know, folks, listen. You know what Jesus said? Yeah, I'm tired. But, you know, there's a harvest. Here's a lady with a bunch of sin and a bunch of broken marriages. And, you know, she's looked down at in the community. Why didn't she come with the other women in the morning time? Why is she coming in the middle of the day? Because she don't want to hear the whispers and see the fingers pointed and hear the gossip and hear the name calls. And then she's a Samaritan and there's a Jewish man and here we go. And next thing you know, Jesus just looked at the person, the least likely person to get saved, and said, I want to talk to her. And thank you for being that church. Heavenly Father, Lord, bless our time. Lord, thank you for what you've accomplished. Thank you, Lord, that the baptismal water stirred. It's been a while, and Lord, you know this preacher needed that. Thank you for the two fresh-faced, bright, smiling young ladies that talked to me after church about being saved. Lord, do something sweet and amazing with their life, please. Lord, thank you, dear God. Thank you for the times when it seems like it's not working. Thank you for the times when we see it is working. Just help us to be faithful. Above anything, be faithful. We pray these things in Jesus' name.